1,000 flights coming and going every business day, fanning out nonstop to over 135 cities. Covering the sky with more flights to more cities from O'Hare than any other airline. A kaleidoscopic array that could only be brought to you by United and United Express. Come fly Chicago's hometown airline. Come fly the friendly skies.
In November, there was a strange intruder in the friendly skies over the United Airlines terminal in Chicago. And now, a highly respected aviation group has released their report. The report says it definitely was there, a UFO seen by airline employees and by the public. The object was round, revolving, gray, metallic appearing, and a little under 1,900 feet above the ground level. On the program, we will explore the details and hear from the witnesses as we tell this astounding UFO event. Joining us now to talk to us on the program is MUFON Illinois State Director Sam Maranto. Welcome to the show, Sam, and why don't you tell us a little bit about this event?
That was on November the 7th, 2006, and here we had this object at 4:30 in the afternoon hovering over Concourse C-17 at O'Hare in restricted airspace, you know, Class B restricted airspace. And UAL employees reported it as a concern of safety. You know, and you have to applaud people doing that because they're actually jeopardizing, you know, their reputation in some instances as they felt. And they were put up to a series of ridicule. And the other thing is, when they came forward, some of them went to the newspaper. Of course, Peter Davenport received two reports. Initially one, another one came forward. And Peter contacted the transportation writer of the Chicago Tribune, which is John Hilkovich, who broke the story in the Tribune on New Year's Day, January 1st, 2007. That story, I'd say before the ink even dried, went global on the Internet via all sorts of news wires, etc. And
It's gotten more publicity than almost anything.
Yes.
I have a sister who knows nothing about UFOs, and she called me right up about it.
Oh, it was on
CNN. She saw it.
Oh,
the Tribune got the word out, and that's an interesting aspect of this case, as major media reported it without a smirk.
Yes, the media grabbed it, and there wasn't really all that much of a ridicule factor thrown into it. A little ribbing and everything else. The only ones that I would have to say that set a negative tone was on NPR National Public Radio with Melissa Block, was it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, she was on, and she had asked John, did you find it unusual to talk to somebody from a UFO reporting center? And John stated yes, and that made the comment that that Peter Davenport was trying to make him say that this, you know, was from out of this world. And, you know, Peter, he would never even coax anybody into saying anything like that.
Right.
That was so out of color. I don't know why John did that, but I'll forgive him either way, because he did such a great job breaking the story. The other thing is, I think his tone is much different now, and he's taken this to heart, where this is genuinely a phenomena that should be addressed and should not be ignored. He filed the FOIA, which changed the a little bit of the FAA's position. And initially, they denied that anything had happened.
Right.
Same thing with UAL. So when he filed that FOIA, all of a sudden they were finding reports. Oh yes, there was a report here. Here, and then the FAA says, yes, there was something here that there was some people talking about this, pilots talking about it, etc.
The report just released states that eyewitness testimony reveals the size of the saucer-shaped object as being between 22 to 88 feet in diameter. It accelerated at a steep incline, breaking through a 1,900-foot cloud base, and it left in the clouds a round hole approximately its own size that stayed there for 14 minutes. What could have caused this? a superheated object, or maybe something radiated, possibly a microwave-heated energy device. According to the FAA, nothing was detected by radar at this location at this time of day, nor was it seen from the main tower. An examination of the primary radar data supplied by the FAA confirmed this fact. Nevertheless, an FAA inbound ground controller remarked about the UFO. He did this a few seconds before 4 p.m. Soon, the mainstream media would get a hold of this story. John Hilkovich of the Chicago Tribune broke it on New Year's Day, in the Trib itself. Later on, Hilkovich did some more investigations, and the story began to get, as they say, legs. Here, we listen to Jim Wagner of the Tribune TV news channel, talking with reporter Hilkovich.
Believe it or not, UFOs have been spotted over O'Hare. Chicago Tribune transportation writer John Hilkovich joining us from the Tribune Tower with more on this exclusive story now. And John, these are credible professionals that saw what they saw back in November, correct?
Yeah, they sure are, Jim. About a dozen of them, from ramp workers, maintenance workers, even pilots, on November 7th saw this disc-shaped object floating above the sea concourse of United Airlines at O'Hare, very low in the sky. It was still daylight, very distinct. Didn't look like an airplane, a helicopter, or anything else they've seen. And they have reported this both to their airline and to the FAA.
And these career professionals are telling you, John, that they in no way would they ever play games that could affect the lives of some hundreds of thousands of people that fly through O'Hare. This is really, they're very determined and convinced they saw what they saw.
Correct? Oh, they're completely serious about this, and they want to get to the bottom of it. And they're concerned that whatever it was, even if it was some kind of military craft or something else, that it be identified because it could pose a safety hazard. They went on the record with their airline and the FAA, giving their names, and certainly they were not hoaxing anybody. They just want to get an explanation, if at all possible.
So what did the FAA say?
Well, the FAA at first denied it when I called them, saying, we don't know what you're talking about. I put in a Freedom of Information request, and then when the FAA went through communications tapes, they called me back and said, well, yes, actually, there was quite a bit of radio talk, and a United Airlines supervisor did call the O'Hare Tower and inquire if controllers had seen anything out of the ordinary up there. So the FAA is acknowledging that United Airlines did contact them about this, although officially United says they've checked their logs and talked to their people, and they don't know anything about this.
Incredible. Nice work, John, once again, in the articles in today's Trib.
Thank you.
If you were a government operative trying to keep the UFO story undercover, this was fast becoming a nightmare. First, the Tribune reporting it, and now CNN's Gary Tuchman is all over the story as well. He found the mechanic who saw the UFO.
Planes come to Chicago's O'Hare Airport from all over the world. But do they come from other worlds?
You don't believe this was possibly your imagination?
It was definitely not my imagination.
Joe was a mechanic for United Airlines. While taxiing a jumbo jet to the hangar, he and another mechanic
looked out the window in the general direction and noticed an object up in the sky, dark gray object sitting above the terminal complex.
Joe, which is not his real name, is one of several airport workers, some of whom have talked to the Chicago Tribune, who say they saw a saucer-shaped UFO hovering just beneath the clouds at the airport. He's the first to go on camera to talk about it since this happened several weeks ago. He wants to remain anonymous.
But you're sure it was some kind of object that normally would not be above O'Hare Airport?
I've been at O'Hare for quite some time, and let's just say that I've never seen an object in my time there that looked like this. And I'll tell you, definitely, it was not an airplane as we know it.
But it could be an airplane as another world knows it.
Possibly.
We brought in one of Chicago's top sketch artists.
Followed the contours of the object.
To listen to Joe and draw a picture of what he says he saw.
More of like an oval. Dark gray oval.
Because no photos have surfaced, and Joe doesn't know of any.
Now, it didn't say Goodyear on it, did it?
No Goodyear, no. That's a really good drawing.
Is that what it looks like?
Very much so, yeah.
Other witnesses told an organization called the National UFO Reporting Center that the object eventually shot straight up in the sky at a great rate of speed.
It looked like literally someone had poked a hole in the clouds. It's a round hole.
Joe thinks the disc is either a stealthy military project or a spacecraft from another planet. But
I find it very strange or very peculiar that somebody who possesses the technology to travel between star systems would sit over an airport in Chicago.
Hard to argue that. A spokesperson for United Airlines says, "We are aware of what the employee said they saw, but this is not something United would investigate. Talk to the FAA," says the airline. The TSA and the Chicago Department of Aviation also told us to talk to the FAA. So we did. And an FAA spokesperson told us we, too, don't have the power to investigate. The FAA adds that radar did not pick up anything out of the ordinary, and the sighting might have been caused by a weather phenomenon.
And you don't believe it was a weather phenomenon?
Not at all. Not for a minute.
O'Hare has apparently been UFO-free since that November afternoon, although Joe now tends to pay special attention to that same patch of airport sky. Gary Tuchman, CNN.
Coming up next on our program, an exclusive tape of a mystery witness all about the O'Hare UFO saga. I'm Jerry Pippin. Don't go away. The 60th anniversary Roswell Jerry Pippin Show t-shirt is now on sale. A limited amount of sizes, medium, large, and extra large, are still available. But they are going fast. This t-shirt is made of fine fabric, 100% ultra cotton. And the design of the alien skull will astound you and others around you when you wear this t-shirt for casual wear. Hurry, supply is limited. $15. Plus shipping at ShopJerryPippin.com. Welcome back to the O'Hare UFO story. The long-awaited report by Dr. Richard Haynes of NARCAP has been released, and we once again will bring into the conversation Illinois State Director of MUFON, Sam Maranto. He also investigated the incident. Tell me about NARCAP.
Well, actually, NARCAP is the National... National Aviation Reporting Center of Aerial Phenomena, and that's headed by Dr. Richard Haynes, who has a magnificent background in, as far as the aviation field, and also was a consultant for NASA. This he started some time back, and he also handled, as you recall, the Japan Airlines Alaskan case.
But this is where pilots normally report.
Yes, it's
things.
Only for pilots to make reports, mainly military or civilian.
Uh-huh.
And of course, you have a scenario, it's like police officers handling things for police officers. These are pilots handling things for pilots. And of course, they watch their reputation, they watch their...
An airline doesn't want someone to think that there's disc flying around, they can't control it, from a safety issue.
Safety issue is key. And I think this is where United Airlines postured themselves to really be low-key and tell their employees, please, stand back on this issue. The reason why is in February that year, 2006, they had just came out of the largest bankruptcy in airline history. So here they are... confronted with something that could bring on a who knows what type of reaction and repercussion from the public. So would you want to put yourself in that position? I'm just looking at it from a business point of view.
Well, from a business standpoint also, they were just coming out of bankruptcy, too. That
right.
Probably had something to do with it.
Sure.
They were trying to improve their business. And
this would be questionable. Though I think they could have actually played on it in a positive way.
Yeah, I do too. Mm-hmm. I've always felt that way about it.
Sure. The FAA was the one that really blew it as far as looking like a bunch of chumps, really. And it's sad to say because I have extreme respect for them, but they should have handled that, I'd say, a little bit better.
So what do you draw from that? The FAA covers up all these things automatically?
I think, we know it's an automatic thing, it's to the point now, it's getting beyond obvious. Here you have him saying it's lenticular clouds, weather phenomena. A lenticular cloud would be unable to actually manifest itself in that type of a weather environment that day. We had a low ceiling. We had a maximum speed of wind of 5 miles an hour. I think the gusts at that time were even lower than that. I mean, it was at that time was relatively calm. It was a relatively calm
environment. Now you got involved and you found you were allowed to talk to somebody or you
yes.
did it on your own.
Actually,
tell me about this.
I was asked to basically step back.
Step back.
It was just we agreed upon it. And, you know, Mark Rodiger from Kufos, a good friend of mine, and we always work in concert. And it was decided that this is Dr. Haynes going to be the point man on this. Let him handle it. And did a great job. Let's see who comes forward. Let's see who he gets to talk to. Then at some point, let's just work around the periphery and find some other people to, you know, as far as witnesses. Don't want to confuse who should be talking to who with these pilots. We want to keep a straight line of communication. Who's supposed to be talking to who? And
so you're telling the audience right now that this is more of a positive thing, trying to get the
certainly.
Perfect report or a better report that's closer to perfect.
Oh, yeah.
Than having a bunch of people out there.
Oh, sure. And the other thing is the stigma of ufologists versus people who are purely scientific and scientist and have the right acronyms in back of their names to give them all the credibility in the world to evaluate this, I think adds a high degree of credence to it. So I was very happy that he did get involved. The only thing is, at this point now, we just want to finish things up. It's going to be in excess of 800 pages. The report's going to be pretty substantial from what Dr. Haynes had said. I hope my report so far, it looks like it will be in there. Again, that witness came to me from Mark Allen from Above Top Secret.
Okay.
This woman who was, I tell you the truth, I'd say she's a magnificent witness, has a background in journalism and was a reporter, was a anchor woman for a East Coast news reporting agency, and also a background in military in the sense that she was the daughter of a commander of naval aviation sector. So here he was a commander. She grew up in a military environment, mainly aviation. She knew what flies. She had the right jargon explaining things. And she was very perceptive on her analysis and very descriptive, technologically correct in how she's explaining things. So it adds huge credence, huge credence.
You interviewed her extensively, I take.
Yes.
And you made a tape of it. And it's a little miniature cassette tape.
Yes.
But we're going to play it through the microphone here, and I think it'll be fine. We'll, I think we can make it sound good enough that people can understand it. And what's this first segment? What are
the
we
first segment, the woman was driving along Mannheim and Irving, as she actually states. She sees the object in the sky. She's not prodded by anybody or it isn't pointed out. It's obvious. It's standing out, you know, in the sky. She sees it, points it out to her friend who's driving with her, and what they do is they decide to pull over and at the earliest and most convenient location, which was actually the spot where she was going to go to, which is the International Terminal, Terminal 5. And as you could hear in this segment, she describes what she sees and when she sees it.
On this particular occasion, a friend and I were going to pick up an old school friend who's a pilot for American Airlines.
Oh, wonderful.
He does an overseas, an international route.
Did he get a chance to see this?
He didn't see it, but his plane was held up for a bit, but just see anything unusual. He said, oh, that makes sense. Well, he went on to say that pilots just next to never even report these things anymore because they did nothing ends up coming of it, and they're really under some amount of pressure not to talk about such things. And he's just like, you know, we see things, we may ask if there's a radar return. And after that point, you know, unless literally it was right in front of us and affecting flight, we wouldn't even report it because of the humiliation factor and all of it. So he's very much inclined to believe the report, not only because we saw it, but that pilot closer to it saw it.
Right.
And he's like, I tell you what, if a pilot is reporting this, then it's a big deal. It's a done deal. So I respect his opinion on that, but that was one of the things that pushed him over the edge. I think he was willing to think, well, we may have seen something that has a good explanation, but when he learned that pilots very close to it had seen it, he was like, okay, well, if flight crews are reporting it, then it's a real deal, because otherwise you just wouldn't.
But I didn't know what was it you saw.
At the point when I first saw it, it was straight ahead of me, slightly to the left, and just sitting there. And it had this odd quality about it as far as its reflectivity. Didn't in any way look like a plane. It seemed very much to absorb and take on the colors of its surroundings, like the top of it really, you could tell it was independent of the sky, but it did kind of absorb the sky. The bottom of it not only was shadowed, but it looked like to some extent it was reflecting the darker ground. But so from more underneath, really looked at dark gray, and you saw it more from a side angle, it had this almost opalescent effect. It's so hard to describe. There's not a material I can think of that really looks like. I even wondered, well, my first reaction is this is metallic, but then I had this moment where I was like, maybe it's ceramic of some sort, because it had this almost fuzzy, opalescent quality to it. Not mirror-like perspective, yet able to reflect, but it didn't seem like a mirror-like metallic hard metal surface. It was awful because I have to say when I saw the purported cell phone photograph,
yes,
I had to say that really looked like the thing. I knew I was seeing it at an angle. Well, what I did when I saw it from the road, I was like, oh my God, we got to get to the parking lot really quickly. And at first, my friend didn't see it. Then, when it got to the point where she saw it too, she's like, oh my God, we've got to get to a parking place really quickly. So we just cut over towards the international terminal and then parked at the first place we could park.
So where did you interview her?
Actually, interviewed her on the phone. My next interview was going to be in person for a video interview that I was going to put together part of a documentary. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to contact the woman, or I should say she hasn't been returning my calls, since November 22nd was the last time I spoke to her. She had some health issues, and this was a major concern of both I and Mark, Mark being the person who introduced me. And again, this is Mark Allen from AboveTopSecret.com, right. An excellent site, by the way.
Yeah, we know Mark fairly well. I've talked to him several times.
He was the one who put me in touch with her, and also Linda Moulton Howe actually interviewed her, too.
Sam, we have an email here from Linda Moulton Howe, and she says that she stayed in touch with this witness. But the reason the witness probably hasn't returned the calls, I'm paraphrasing this, not what Linda says. Linda says that the witness basically told her that she'd said all she wants to say, and she's going to wait till other people come forward, other witnesses. On Linda Moulton Howe's earthfiles.com, she has great details on the O'Hare story. We'd recommend you going over and looking at it. We have quite a few details to come up, too, right after this break, so don't go away.